It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and welcome to our outdoor show here on KETR today. You know, we've been doing this show for 7 or 8 years right here on KETR. If you can remember a date, October the 6th, I want to remind you, the Lake Fork Sporting Challenge takes place. Now, there's going to be some shooting events, shotgun, rifle, and pistol. So it's now the shooting part of it on October 6th. I'm going to be there. And if any of you have a chance to come by, I'd love to meet you. It's going to be at the J&K Trigger and Bow Shooting Range, which is, it's about 5 miles north of Yanis on Highway 154. J&K Trigger and Bow Shooting Range. You can Google that or whatever, but it's right there on 154. Come by. I'm going to be in a booth with a bunch of air and rifle guns, and I'll be about 50 yards from the range. If you'd like to shoot one of these big bore air guns or one of the shotguns, will you come by? And I'm going to have copies of my book, Kill to Grill, there, so you don't have to buy a book. I just enjoy meeting you and talking with you. We do have today a special guest, one of my good friends, Larry Wysoon, and I use the good friend part in earnest. Larry is a good friend of mine. He does a weekly outdoor show with me on commercial stations, and we get to hunt together, and he's just a great friend and a very knowledgeable person. But Larry, I think you've been standing by and listening and waiting for your turn. Glad to have you with us today.
Hey, Luke, it is absolutely my pleasure. I so very much enjoy spending time with you.
We always have a good time. It's just...
Yes, we do.
You know, we just enjoy... we both got a passion for the outdoors. There's no question about that. And, you know, Larry, I want to brag on your TV show. And I know many of the folks listening now probably watched this segment, the Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, folks. You know, it's Larry's TV show on the Pursuit Channel. I was watching it last week. And one of the episodes, I think the ranch was the Sandstone Mountain Ranch in the Texas Hill Country. That's where it was filmed, right, Larry?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, that show, not because Larry is a good friend, this is a fact, that was the best produced, most real outdoor show I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched a lot of them on TV and other places. But Larry used John Wooters, who was most people that read a lot about the outdoors, and I know John Wooters, famous outdoors writer and very knowledgeable gun gentleman. But Larry was friends, was great friends with Wooters, and he took, Larry, you used his pistol to harvest the whitetail deer, and then that was no acting to that when you were on film.
No.
That was coming from the heart. That was a very impressive show, and I know that meant a lot to you to use your old friend's handgun to kill that deer, you know?
It really did, and thank you so very much. You're right, John Wooders was a very dear friend that for years wrote the Buck Sense column on Peterson Hunting, and he passed away several years ago, and I know some of our listeners out there that have been around for a while will remember the name, and just an absolutely fantastic individual. And it just so happened that he and I had a mutual friend, Chris Triber, who happens to be the hunt manager on the Sandstone Mountain, and he was real good friends with John, as was his family, and somehow or another he had procured one of John's Ruger his Black Hawk hunter in a .44 mag. And he knew my relationship with John. He said, "Hey, would you like to try to shoot John's pistol?" And he says, "Just so happened, my dad, who had also, Chris's dad had also passed away, had loaded up a bunch of 240 grain Hornady XTP." And I says, "Absolutely, I'd love to." So we took it out the range, shot it, shot like an absolute dream. Actually, the scope was a Simmons scope, and it was one that I had sent John years ago, and I did. Worked for Simmons, and went out and ended up shooting a doe. And I mean, that doe that I shot meant as much to me, I think, as any deer that I've shot in a long time. To be able to use John's gun and to have Chris there and his dad having loaded up that ammunition, it was just a very, very special moment in time, as far as I'm concerned. And thank you very much for the comments.
Right. Well, it showed through on the TV show. I mean, it, very clear to me what was going on, you know. So that the ammo was loaded by the gentleman who took you, that you hunted with, his dad, right?
It was his dad, Chris Traver's dad, and actually Chris's dad was a contractor, and he happened to build the house that Gene and Archie and John's wife and John built when they moved to Johnson Creek there close to Kerrville. And so they'd become very good friends, and I mean, it was just all the way around. It was just an absolutely special moment for Chris. He and I were both about in tears by the time it was over.
I could see that. Well, that's what you call that, you know, a person, even the best actor, and Robert Duvall couldn't have portrayed that. He couldn't have acted that. That's real. Larry, you know, on a different subject, that's something that I'd like you to share with all of our listeners up here in North Texas. Hogs are prevalent here. We, you know, the Sulphur River, the Red River, the White Oak Creek. I mean, there's so many drainages and so many hogs.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that hangs a lot of people up is the weight of hogs. And as many hogs, wild hogs, as I've killed, and I bet you I haven't had the opportunity to actually weigh, I don't know, 10 in my whole life, you know? And so the estimating the weight of wild hogs is a challenge, and not many of us are very accurate at doing that. I'm not. But there's a formula. Yeah,
there really is. I mean, there is a formula on the estimating weight that's really close. And I get tickled. I've seen some guys that, you know, hear about these 300-pound hogs, and that's really what prompted me to start looking for some different ways to try to come up with some measurements, because I'd weighed several 300-pound hogs that actually weighed 185 to 187.
Right.
So I started visiting with some people that were in the hog business, and you and I both grew up around where we had domestic hogs, and years and years ago, before they had scales all over the place, they developed a method to where they could get pretty close on the live weight of a hog, where a butcher or a meat packer would go in and go, okay, I want to buy your hogs, you know, what do they weigh? And he didn't want to sell them by the pound. So they developed a method, and basically what it is, it's taking two measurements, and with that hog being down, take a tape measure and measure right behind the front legs the girth, heart girth, if you will, of that hog, and record it, then measure from just behind, just about where the ears touch the skull or whatever, right there where the ears come to go to the body. Start right there and measure to the base of the tail so that you've got a length, not an overall length. You don't include the head, but just right there where the ears come in to the base of the tail. And then what you do is you multiply the girth weight times the girth, the girth length times the girth length times the length of the hog, and then divide it by 400. And that will come up usually within 5 to 10 pounds of what the hog actually weighs if you were able to put him on scales.
That's a method that was invented out of necessity, like you say, because
It is. It's an old accepted method. And you and I were talking about it the other day, and I remembered a few things, and then I went back and looked at some of my notes because I know I had done a bunch of that stuff, but I couldn't remember the exact measurements. But it's the girth weight, girth length times girth length times the length of the hog from the ears to the base of the tail, and then divide it by 4. And that'll give you, like I said, a really close estimate of what that hog actually weighed live weight.
Yep. You divide it by the girth weight. The girth length, the circumference
girth
around the girth, times
circumference.
The circumference around the girth, times the distance from along the back, the spine,
the back, yes,
from the top, from the ears to the base of the tail, that divided by what?
By 400.
400, that's right.
Yep.
Okay, good. Well, that'll help a lot of people, and you know, I just I trapped a hog here. You and I were joking about it. It's just kind of comical in a way. It was a muddy. I had this little trap set back in the back. I'd found a real active hog trail. I mean, that they were obviously using on a daily basis, going to a feeder of mine. And I set this little trap. It's probably maybe 6 foot long at the longest, and 38 inches wide, and probably 38 inches tall, something like that. But it's a small trap. I've caught many hogs, and I was getting ready to make some of these snack sticks, you know, like the Slim Jim.
Yes,
you and I need some for upcoming hunt. So
yes, we do.
So I was I set this trap, and you know how exciting it is the next day, to me anyway, to check any kind of trap. You know, I'm walking back the trail through the woods and come out in this little clearing. I'm looking over there trying to see if that it's a guillotine door on this little trap, you know, drop straight down. I thought, well,
right.
I'm trying looking for the top of the door. That's about all I could see for the brush, you know. And I can't see the door. And I said, uh-oh, maybe I got one. Then, you know how your mind will work. That's probably a doggone coon tripped it, you know, that type of deal. So, and this boar, it was about a, here's the guesswork again. I'm going to say 160-pound
right.
boar. It's a pretty good-sized boar. Had some age on him because he had some probably inch-and-a-half cutters, you know. And, yeah, he was a good size, you know, I think he was an older boar, but he was down, sitting, you know, squat, laying down in there. And
right.
I walked right up on top. Then, of course, he stood up, and the back was almost to the top of that little trap, you know. So, covered with mud from head to toe. That he was, it was wet and raining, and this hog was just.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking pork, you know me. I looked at him and I thought, our listeners have never grabbed a hold of a wet hog leg, muddy leg, and tried to pull the hog, it's not easy to do. You know, it's not.
You're right.
I looked at it, so I thought, I'm going to let this rascal go. Now, okay, folks, before you get mad at me, this is an area that's hunted a bunch. That hog's going to wind up on somebody's den wall before the winter's over. And I know he will. But I just didn't. I thought it would be a good idea to cut him loose, and that's what I did.
Amen.
But then I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. How am I going to get him out of here, or let him get out of here and me not get et up, you know, Larry? So when I'm
he's
in
got
the...
got sharp teeth. What's
and I could see them sticking out, you know, the cutters.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. So he's kind of grunting, and, you know, kind of hog gut size can be kind of formidable, you bet. So, and the trick is, I'm in the back, toward the back of the trap. The hog's watching me. He's not going to turn around.
Yeah.
He's not taking his eyes off of me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to walk up to the front, and then he's going to see that hole, the open door, and he's going to make a dash for it. And ultimately, that's what he did. But not before I found two saplings that I could have jumped and crawled. I could have got out of his way. But he took two steps out of that trap, Larry, looked around, and just casually trotted down the trail he came in on. He didn't run. And I thought, well...
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Larry, we are already...
Oh, good.
We're already just about out of time. Would you get back with us before long? These visits with you are non-scripted, as our listeners can easily tell, but we have a lot of fun when we get together. Get back, we'll talk about deer next time.
I would be honored to. Thank you, Luke.
I'll bet. You bet. And I will, you know, I want to take a second and remind you folks of Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, on the Pursuit Channel. So I know a lot of you already listened to it. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.